I was going to title the sermon, if you're not believing, go ahead and get in place, a place of expectation. Because all through the Bible, I say this a lot here, because it needs to be ingrained in our mind and in our heart. All through the Bible, when they expected God, it brought a manifestation. You see it all through the Bible. Moses, Red Sea, Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, the Abednego, Paul. You see all of them when they were expecting God, God show up. We're just generations on down the road is all we are. We are the same. He's the same God. We are His people and we hear His voice. Hallelujah. And so if I was going to title the sermon this morning, it would be Faith Begins Where the Will of God is Known. And faithless Christians don't know God's will. If you don't endeavor to study that Bible and find out what God's will is, you will be a faithless born-again believer. And you will be defeated throughout this earth. You'll be defeated in your finances. You'll be defeated in your emotions and all of that. Faith begins in your life where you find out what God's will is for you. That's where it begins. The Bible says that He takes us from faith to faith. So we ought to be going from one level of faith to another level of faith. Everybody that gets born again has been given the measure of faith, a measure of faith. And then the Scripture is very clear, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God concerning the will of God for you. You know, the children of Israel, I guess it don't really say, when they were in bondage down there to Pharaoh, God said He heard the cries of His people. I don't know if it's crying out to Him or I don't really know. It don't really explain it the best I can tell. But anyhow, God takes somebody like me and you and he sends him in there, Moses. And God tells Moses what to tell them. Moses didn't go in there on his own and tell him nothing. He didn't think he could go. He couldn't talk and all that. You know, a lot of times, I mean, you know, in my own self, I'm thinking, how did I make it 30 years in ministry? I've not been on my own, Brad. That's why. Moses wasn't on his own, and that gave me faith knowing that. But God goes down there and He tells them. He said, I'm going to take you to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Houses, he tells them. Why did He do that? He wanted them to have vision. Though the Word of God gives man you vision. He reveals His Word to the seekers. That's why I'm going to talk about this. This is not really my message. You know, in my message, but I was thinking about, you know, we're living in an era. I heard it back in 1990-something, you know, listening to WGJC. I thought the Bible says, come out from among the world and be ye separate. Touch not that unclean thing and I'll receive you unto myself and you'll be my, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. You know, and so I'd reading in the Bible. That's why it's a good thing to read the Bible. And so anyways, I'm going down the road and WDJC, they're still on today and I still listen to them. But they had somebody on there, you know, and they come on there and they said, we're going to send you a church kit. A home, you know, they had home churches in the Bible. That's all they had is home churches in the Bible. Now I hadn't been saved but about 6 months, so Satan tried to pull this on me real early. He said, we're going to send you a kit. You know, a Bible, some anointing oil, it was $90, something like that. You know, you don't have to go to these traditional churches. God's not all up into these fancy churches. They were saying that back under in the 90s. These fancy churches and the light and blah, 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 you know, and they're going on, you know, and you know, and you can find your favorite preacher and you can on TV and you can send your tithes to it. I cut the radio off. And I thought, I'll never listen to that lying garbage again. I don't care if it's on a Christian radio station. I thought, because in the book of Acts, see, I knew the word, Brad. He didn't tell them, Peter, y'all go over there to your house and you sit there and y'all just fellowship together and break bread together. He said, no, I want y'all to go over there in Jerusalem, and I want you to go up in the upper room, and I want you to tarry there and on high. Gather yourselves together, and I'm going to show up in the midst of you. And the Bible says that he showed up, the Spirit fell, praise God, came in there like as a mighty rushing wind and filled the house. So the book of Acts church, and then they didn't go out. They didn't go out after that. They were thousands added to the kingdom of God, preaching the word of God, Peter and all of them. After that, there was, a lot. And so anyways, I kind of changed my mind. I thought I'm going to listen to it. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. The Bible says you cannot hear the gospel without a preacher. He didn't change. He ain't changed. I know everybody gets saved. I know everybody gets the Spirit on the inside of them. But I'm telling you, the way God's ordained this is he calls us out of our living room, out of our houses, to come together and worship God together and learn and grow and develop and do the work of the ministry. Together. One mind, one accord. Well, you've got them on Facebook and social media now. They coming out with God, and some of them that I know, I won't call their names because I don't judge them, and I don't fellowship with them. Well-known preachers and ministers got it all figured out. Sell the churches and go have house churches. That's why it's going to be popular. And what's going to be popular in this last day is the gathering of God's people that is filled with His Spirit, that hears His voice, that under His anointing, and they come together led by the Spirit like me and you are this morning. Every one of y'all that's here, faithful, you feel like God has called you here. And so the house church is not going to do you no good. Right? You're going to die spiritually. You're going to follow the Lord. Well, they're coming out with that. You know, the church, it's not my message, but God told me to bring this out this morning, that we're equipped. We're called for the equipping of the saints. Right? And so some of the ones that I've known and I've been a part of and different things over the years, they're falling off into it. Now they're attacking churches. The churches are being, what's the use? God's in everybody. That's rebellion. Satan is trying to raise up rebellion in the hearts of God-loving people that hears the wrong stuff and don't stay in line with the Bible. That's how you're going to know how to stay on course, is you're going to have to stay in line with the Bible. I don't care if the majority of Christians are going contrary to the Word of God, you stay with the Word. I told Travis when he was 15 years old, because he's fixing to get out and be a man, I told him when he was 15 years old, I said, son, I said, the only way that you're going to know truth, I said, in this world, I said, is the Word of God. I said, if you don't know the Word of God and you're not got it in there, not to twist it to fit. A lot of God's people twist the Scripture to fit their own convenience. That is dangerous. You're not going to read and pray and different things like you do if you're hooked up to the body that preaches the Word to you every week. Like the Sunday school lesson, warning you about finding why. Because God's going to bring you out and prosper you. And He wants you to be aware that you don't put your trust in money. That He's wanting you to be aware. Don't go your own way even when you've got money. You still acknowledge me. Don't forget me when you're little and you come up big. You don't forget me. Don't forget me. He wants you to have a good life. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you, but He wants you after the kingdom. He wants you after the kingdom. They're promoting home churches. Let me tell you something. If you listen to Joel Osteen or you listen to Jensen Franklin, whatever your favorite preacher is, more than likely, he's not a lone evangelist. Think about it. Jensen Franklin's church pays for this. you know, I mean, whatever. Keith Moore, he's not a lone guy in a home having a home sale. That guy impacted my life for 33 years. Thank God he didn't quit church. Thank God he didn't go to homeschooling, home selling, whatever you want to call the garbage. I'm not saying God ain't in our living room. Brad, me and you can meet there, and Leslie and Teresa and a few of us, and he'll manifest himself there. But he don't mean for us to forsake this. We are reaching the world. The church is, listen, if Satan can stop and kill the churches, he can hinder the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the churches have got the media ministry. They put them on TV, the churches. Think about your favorite one. I'm just bringing this, this is a little appetizer, a little bit of cake before the meal. Hallelujah. If Satan can bring down the... He can't stop his church, Brad. God told me to start this church, and but God, the Bible says the gates of hell can't prevail against me. I either believe it or I don't. He said, upon this revelation, I know it's the will of God. Upon this revelation that I have that it's the will of God. That's why you got to know the will of God. Is it God's will for you to be healed? I don't know, man. I don't know. You better get in there and find out, because you can't have no faith to receive it. My mama, so listen, don't listen to all of that garbage. Don't let your ministering come from Facebook and a bunch of unbelieving Christians that's sitting home posting their favorite scriptures. I'm not downing them. Y'all listening to me, get in there and repent. Get up here with us and let's feed the poor. Let's clothe the hungry. Let's preach the gospel. Don't sit in your living room and criticize us. Don't criticize me if I build a multi-million dollar building down here to hold a bunch of people and have a youth program and do things and have a gym so us fat people can work out and buffet our body. I could lose 30 pounds, Brad. We got to trim the church up. We got to run this race. A lot of it doing good to walk. Talking about spiritually there. Some of you need a little laugh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But don't believe that garbage. Don't believe that garbage. And when you hear it, praise God, hallelujah, and you hear somebody saying it, say it's not in line with Scripture. If you want to gather in your house, do it on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and take off of work and gather for Jesus. But on Sunday and Wednesday when these churches are having church, go help them. Take off of work, quit your job. You're full-time ministry now. Stay in your house and get them 10,000. Just call us up, give us the address. All 40 or 80 or 120 of us are coming. Hope you have a potluck supper in your living room, because we're going to come fellowship with you. Right? Boy, y'all quiet. I like this. I'm feeling pretty good. Y'all liking it? Yeah, I like it too. Praise the Lord. My spirit feels good about it. Amen. Feels real good about it. Hallelujah. I didn't go to Brad. This is my pastor right here. Pastored over us for 8 years. People told me, yeah, you don't have to drive that far. We drove 35, 40 minutes, Brad. On empty, under empty, run out of gas coming back from church at times. You know, we knew it was the will of God, but we seen miracles. We seen miracles. Yeah. Buddy, we seen God show up and give us money at church and pay our bills. Yeah. I mean, we seen a lot of things happen going to church when it wasn't convenient. All it wasn't about the going to church. It was what we had in here, Brad, that we knew that was the will of God for us. And we had faith to go when our little snotty-nosed kid cried all the way up there and all the way back. I had to take him out to church and spank him. Because, you know, be quiet in this church, I'm trying to hear. You know, I mean, I had faith. Everything when you're in faith, knowing the will of God, whether it's healing or finances or church or ministry, when you have faith, then all the challenges you will meet head on and you will deal with them. Anything that gets in the way that you know is trying to stop the will of God for you, you will deal with that. He will quicken you by His Spirit in your inner man to deal with that. You're not on your own. He's with you. He's for you. He's not against you. So this church is, this church, home church stuff, like there's not going to, no, God is coming back. There ain't enough buildings to hold all the people, Brad, that is going to get born again. So Satan's trying to shut them down ahead of the outpouring of God's Spirit. And he's trying to stop the older ministers like me. My feet burns. My head hurts. My body clicks and clocks and does stuff that didn't normally used to do. And so Satan will be like, well, you know, you're washed up. And I tell him, I'm washing you up. You ain't going to take what I'm facing in my body and this and that and tell me to stop preaching. And tell me to stop going to church. And tell me it's better to sit at home than to God understand. You're not going to tell me that so that I come out from under the divine power of healing. The divine power of finances. The divine power of strength. That's why the Bible said, he told them, he said, let the weak say that I am strong. Hallelujah. See, listen, you can't believe that Bible and confess out of your mouth something different and have the Bible kind of faith. You can't get in there and say, yes, I'm the head, not the tail, and I lend and not borrow, and then go up there and a new bill come and say, boy, if it wasn't for this, I was. If you cannot believe that Bible, it will not happen for you if you do that. The Bible says be rooted and grounded in faith. Be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. He says, put on the mind of Christ. What did Jesus do? Tell Peter and them, well, they're going to crucify me. Might as well just quit now. He didn't do that. He knew he was going to the cross. He didn't say, what's the use? When the scribes and the Pharisees, when they was trying to kill him, when they called him the devil, right? He didn't say, oh, Lord, you know. This is just terrible down here. No, he kept his eyes on God and proved it out through the scripture, kept his eyes on the Word of God. Jesus quoted the Word of God in the wilderness. Jesus preached the Word of God in the synagogues. He took the Isaiah and Ezekiel and all of them. That's what Jesus read. Jesus read the Bible. He was a Bible student. He rolled the scroll out. He didn't have nothing because he was God. He stripped himself from being God and became like me and you, Brad, just normal man, sleeping 8 hours if her wife ain't griping. Teresa went for years, you know, couldn't sleep and up seven, up 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Man, I'm going to bed. I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock. I feel like I got a hangover every morning I step at 1 o'clock. You know, now I come in the other day, she done walked the word out, and I'm telling you the honest to God's truth. I took her to every specialist around that we could, got some of the best insurance. I mean, it pays for everything. They couldn't help her. She turns to the word of God, she does it every morning. She turned to the word of God and started taking her medicine, the word of God. The Bible says the word is medicine to all of our flesh. She started taking the word of God. Hallelujah. And then she goes, comes in there 15 to 10 the other night. I don't go to bed till 10:30. And she's like, let's go to bed. And I'm like, what do you mean go to bed, man? I'm eating. Shouldn't be eating at 15 or 10. That's why I'm going to wait a little bit. I said, listen, you're not going to put me to bed at 10. Like that. And she said, well, you can't have it both ways. And I'm like, well, get back in there and cut everything off. That's your job. But, Brad, I'm being funny right now. We're being funny at that time, you know. But it's real good that she can go to bed at 10. Yeah. And she can sleep all night till 5:30 when she sets that clock and wakes us both up like I got to get up too. I like cooking breakfast, so I think if she wakes me up early enough, Leslie, she might get her a biscuit, a good homemade biscuit. Got it, Brad? You in there with a bill on Brad. I'm cooking you breakfast, honey. He's like, that ain't going to happen in Jesus' name. Get him jacked. I'll be back in a minute, baby. That's what I done Saturday. I didn't cook Saturday, praise the Lord. But see, listen, man, you got to watch the Antichrist. You know, you got to watch his smoothness. It sounds good to me, Brad. Do a home church. Man, you ain't got all these $900-something light bills. You know, thousand, whatever it is. If y'all revival, ain't no telling what it'll be. You know, ain't got to put up with all of y'all stuff. Y'all ain't got to put up with all of my stuff. Let me turn around before y'all quit church over it. Praise the Lord. But listen, the church, he's coming back after a strong body. Healed, walking in divine health body. That's me and you, blood God. Hallelujah. They say, I am the church. No, you are not the church. If you believe you are the church individually, you are being deceived. You are not the church. I won't sit behind this pulpit that Richard is the church. No, you are a member. We are individually members. If I am the church, I don't need you. That's what Satan means for it to do. That's what he does. He is a deceiver. God called us together. God called Faith Restoration together. God called the Church of God Assembly together if they're anointed and called by God. Every church is not anointed by the Lord and called by the Lord. These churches birthed out of rebellion. There's the church of Satan. So anyways, off of that maybe. Don't bite the bullet. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to stay with the shield. See, Paul told them, and God gave me a message about the church. They was in a storm, and they shouldn't have been out there. Paul told them not to go, but anyways, they're in a storm, and it's being tore apart. They're going to die. They're throwing stuff out, and an angel of the Lord showed up to Paul and said, tell him to stay on the ship. Tell him to stay with the ship. And nobody going to die. I'm paraphrasing a little. And the Lord spoke to me. That was back yonder in 1998. And the Lord said, you tell my people. I was evangelizing then, and I was going to different churches. He said, you tell my people to stay with the church. Don't quit the church. No matter if you like the people or not. If I've called you to go somewhere, and I'd tell it everywhere I went, I would say, you might not even like being here, but you know God wants you here. You might not like the style of the pastor, but God wants you here. And God said for you to stay with the ship. So I'm going to stay with the church. Amen. Church is not an individual. All through the Bible, if you look the word church up, all through the Bible, it says called out, called together. And that's what I tell anybody that tells me I am the church. And I'm like, no, you're not the church. You are deceived. You have told yourself that. Satan has told you that. You have give in to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils because it is contrary to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will not speak to you contrary to God's Word. He won't. He will not. But he will confirm the will of God to you. Called out, called together, an assembly. It's called out, called together, an assembly. That's just like we're doing today. Now, we are the church. We together are the church. All right, faith begins with a... Is it Psalms? I think it is. Yeah, we're talking about magnifying the Lord Wednesday night, wasn't we? Magnifying the Lord, making the Lord bigger than your problems. making the Lord bigger than your desires. Just make him bigger. The bigger I make God, the more I want him. The bigger I make him, the more I want his plan. The more that I seek him, the more that I want him. The less that I seek him, the less that I want him. The less I magnify him and praise him, the less that I want his will. He said, he who dwells in the secret place, this is the AMPC Bible. I never have done all that, but it's pretty good. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain what? Stable and fixed. He who dwells with God, walks with God, stays with God, he will remain stable and fixed. That's mine, Brad. I take it. I believe it. I receive it. And when I feel unstable, I'm going to say it. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And I am stable. And I am fixed. I am solid because of him. Hallelujah. I'm unmovable. You got to believe that. Your trust is in the Lord. He says, he who dwells fixed under the shadow of the whose power no foe can withstand. Ooh, hallelujah. Ain't no financial trial. Ain't no devil. Ain't no lying devil. Ain't no deceiving spirit. Ain't no spirit can come get me to go leave Teresa because the pastor's greener over yonder somewhere. Ain't no spirit. He said right here, he said, no foe can withstand you. That's you. He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fort, my God. On him I lean. On him I rely on. Oh, I trust in him. For then, he said, if your reliance is on him, Sandy, for your marriage. See, people think I just talk about prosperity. I don't, but I'm never going to be broke again another day in my life. This church will never be broke another day. It's never been broke, and it never will be broke. And the reason why is because I believe that what God says, if I do what he says, that he will do what he says he will do. And but God, I don't even question it. Not going to. I will say, he's my refuge, my God. On him I lean and rely. And in him I confidently trust. For then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Woo! COVID couldn't take me out. I sent a... Now, I'm not telling you my experience. This stuff faces you. COVID faced me. I felt backslid. Because I couldn't come to church. I honestly felt backslid, Brad. Because I couldn't come to church. It wasn't that I wasn't praying and reading and fasting. And it felt good to my flesh because I didn't have to come here. I didn't have to get ready. Listen, if you're going to sit at home and serve Jesus, at least get up and fix you some breakfast, brush your teeth, comb your hair, and get you some clothes on before you sit down on your couch to serve him. It's ridiculous. That's why a lot of them, they turn me off. I ain't listening to him. Next week, I'll listen again. He'll be on something else next week. It was good last week. Then he got on me. Yeah. They'll tune me back in the next week because they want to prosper. Everybody that I hear of, they say, well, if you want to prosper, go over there to that church, Brother Scotty's church. But God, I'm telling you right now, you'll start prospering. Right. They're like, well, we can't stand that preaching. So, Brad, I've been figured out. If I get tired of prospering, if I get tired of being healed, if I get tired of being strong, then just quit serving him. If you get tired of being blessed, you get tired of being joyous, in these trials, you're going to face trials with him or without him. They're here. So if you get tired of being blessed, tired of being strong, and tired of having faith when the devil comes, if you get tired of having Satan under your feet, you want him on your back, just quit serving him. Quit serving God. But if you want to win and you want to have faith to fight and win the good fight, the Bible says fight the good fight of faith. I've had a bad fight before. I got my nose broke. Three of them jumped on me. I had to pull us men. I don't know what it was. We're teenagers. We think we got to rip our shirt off. I don't know why. You know, so while I'm ripping my shirt off, they pounce me, and three gets me on the ground. They crack my ribs and broke my nose while I'm pulling my shirt. That was a stupid move. Leave the shirt on. I don't know why. I had to take my shirt off. I think we thought it was mean or something. I don't know. That was not a good fight. But when I come over here, the Lord said, see, he said, the fight of faith, he said, you will never lose like you lost out in the world. He said, many devils will come against you. He said, but the fight of faith is a good fight. He said, and I had Paul to put it in our fight, the good fight. A good fight of faith, you get healed. A good fight of faith, you come out financially. You don't go under, bless God. He makes a way. He opens the door. Somebody told me, they said, well, you know, you pull that scripture out of context, out of Revelation, where it says, I open doors that no man can shut, and I shut doors that no man can open in the book of Revelation. I was just reading that, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I could see my business. I could see this new business that I'd started. He tied it to it. And so I told that guy, I said, well, the only problem I got with that is God took it out of there and gave it to me for my business. Yeah. I said, I'm not trying to build a doctrine here. You know, but if God speaks something out of Philippians 3 to you, don't go back 18 chapters before and after and say, I got to keep this in contact. You'll get confused. Yeah. It's not you taking and building a doctrine. That's what that's about. God spoke to me out of that, and I knew that God's will was, and that word, there were doors were going to open that no man could shut in the garage door business. I knew that he would shut doors, that I wouldn't get jobs that I didn't need to get. He would shut them. And bless God, 33 years later, that word is still working out of Revelations. I didn't pull it out of context. Teresa brought it up. The Lord ain't speaking to you, don't use it. A word like that. But he says here, he says, I will say, though, no, give me a, he would leave you, give me the, go on, Beth. Then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and faithfulness are a shield and buckler. His word and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler to us. You got to believe that God is faithful to you, to bring you out, to bless you. I mean, he's wanting to use every one of you to preach the gospel. Your family members. I sent out a message this morning. Come on to church. Come on to church. And everybody's like, Scotty's just all about church. Every time you see him, where do you go to church? Where do you go to church? You go to church? You go to church? Come on, won't you go to church? Why don't you go to church? Y'all ought to go to church. Everybody ought to go to church. Go to church. Go to church. So they're like, he's a church guy. And I'll be like, no, I'm a Jesus guy. Because Jesus shows up in church. And I know if I can get you to church and Jesus speaks something to you, it'll change your life forever. It's not about these seats in this building. It's I know that if you get in here and one word from God comes to you by the Holy Spirit, he'll light a fire. It'll be like a fire shut up in your bones. It's kept me saved for all these years. Yeah. Ooh, hallelujah. You shall not be afraid of terror of the night. No, I mean, they got some Christians shivering right now. They got the Sharia law, right? You submit to their God or you get beheaded over in that country. They're in Texas. They're in Alabama. They're buying up all the gas stations. They're all over the place. They're worship other gods and all of that, praise the Lord. And if we think that we're not going to face this kind of stuff, well, then we're sadly mistaken. It's already here. It's here. But he said, that's why we got to have the Word of God. The Lord spoke to me back yonder in 1995. I was reading Matthew chapter 24, and God said, don't you ever tell my people, he said, don't you ever tell them that they will not have no trouble before Jesus comes. And then he carried me to the scripture and said, then after the sign of all of these things, talking about a lot of trouble, go read it. Then shall be the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. He said, because if you teach them, he said, if my people are taught that they are not to endure hardship for me and they don't have to go through and they're looking for the rapture to deliver them, he said, then they will be deceived before I come. He said, because you're going to have trouble. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, right? I've overcome the world. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the air, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies day by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. Oh, they're out there. Hallelujah. I had a witch one time chanting against this church. And I'm wondering why it's so heavy around here. You know, I thought, man, maybe they're sin to count. I mean, I thought of everything. I thought, man, I need to go ask anybody. Y'all all in sin, deep sin or something. Man, something's going on around here. You know, because I'd read it in the Old Testament and all that. Well, they go out and take the group out on the street down there, and I handed this lady a flyer, and I said, I want you to come to church. And she said, you don't want me down there. I said, oh, yeah, why's that? She said, because I'm a witch. I said, you're the one I'm looking for. I said, you're the one. I said, you're the one Jesus wants. You're the one. I want you come to find out. She had been chanting against this church, going out on the streets and all of that, you know, but couldn't prevail. No weapons formed against us will prosper, the Bible says. Couldn't prevail. Now you tell people that, Scotty, he's just full of it. Nah, get big enough target and see what happens. You demand Satan turn loose of a city. You demand him to turn loose of your family. And you don't back down and you don't say, well, I prayed for some of y'all's kinfolk that's lost. And I stood up and I said, Lord, in Jesus' name. See, don't just spit Jesus' name out like it's nothing. We are in his authority. I prayed for Adam in Jesus' name. And I commanded Satan to loose him and let him go. I even sent him a message. Come on, church, man. Come on, church. A lot of people get tired of fooling with them. They won't say nothing. They won't do nothing. Hard to reach, all that. But you know what, praise God? When you pray for your kinfolk or somebody that's lost, you say, in Jesus, feel it. Just feel it on the inside. Say, it's not dead words. I'm in your authority, God. You want them. You want them born again. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we jerking them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by them. We jerk them out. Monty taught us a really good men's meeting yesterday on prayer and 4 points of prayer and all of that. I got stirred up on it, you know, and I said a little bit about tongues. I mean, you say tongues and it's like somebody slapped you in the face to Christians. You still believe that? Them tongues? You still believe them tongues? I said it in the men's meeting yesterday. I said he was talking about praying in faith. God answers not all prayers. Prayers of unbelief that Christians preach, they ain't getting nothing. Prayers of faith. Prayers of faith and confidence. That's right. That 1 John 5, that's right. Well, the Bible said when he brought up the word faith, I could see Jude, the book of Jude. He said, praying in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. And I thought about it. I thought, oh, man, that devil, he made me believe that praying in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was of the devil when I was in a certain denomination. Before I was born again, went to church. It was of the devil. People in my family taught me that it was of the devil. And when I got to your church, I believed it was of the devil. But see, through my ignorance, God moved. Teresa hadn't been taught all that. And she told her, now that you've got saved, Sandy did, like y'all Christians ought to be telling them after they get saved. After Teresa got saved, Sandy told her, said, now that you're saved, you need the Holy Ghost. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with praying in tongues. And so she goes around, and she's like, she's telling me, and I said, that's of the devil. I said, that's of the devil. We go to church. She asked the Lord for 2 or 3 weeks. Lord, I'm on the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so she goes to church one night, and Brother Bill Barrio was there. And he said, God has sent me tonight. We didn't know him. God has sent me tonight that some of you might receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when he said that, she knew, this is my night. I'm going to get it. And I told her, go on, it's the devil. Just go on up there and get it. Go get it. It's the devil. I mean, I'm in church saying that. You know, no wonder you had a hard time preaching. But you know, God seen you was able to handle me. God seen it. God seen that church faithful. God seen that church full of faith and full of the Spirit of God and love. And God sent me there messed up, jacked up from the floor up. You know, in every area, you know. I didn't know it. I thought y'all was messed up. Preaching on love. Here's one of them love preachers. Red for love. Got to love one another. And I'm like, tell you how to straighten these Christians out. Smack one another. That's what. Smack that fat boy on that bike making my kid act up in church. She goes up there, Brad. He didn't. Now I'm thinking to myself, this is stupid. This is embarrassing. She's going out to get tongues. I mean, what do you need tongues for? What do you need tongues for? Well, she goes up, and before he can lay hands on her, she falls out. Starts flopping like a fish, praying in tongues. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, he didn't spit on her or nothing. He didn't do nothing, man. And I'm watching, and I thought, this is more embarrassing than what she just done. She's praying in tongues, you know, and I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, I know good and well this has got to be God. Ain't nobody taught her, didn't let around nobody, you know. You know, and I'm standing there and I'm like, man, this has got to be real. And I thought, well, bless God, if she got it, I guess I got to get it too. And so I went and I told him, I said, hey, man, I said, how about laying hands on me? I want that she's got over there. Them tongues things there. I thought it's the devil. I said, but I didn't see it, ain't. See, God had made a believer out of me. He knew where I was at. He knew that I'd been taught that stupid stuff by ignorant Christians. Ignorant Christians that are going to be held accountable one day to the Lord for doing that. He said, woe unto those who the stumbling block comes. They would be better off that a millstone be tied around their neck and drowned. That's pretty deep. That's terrible. So, if you ain't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't really care. I don't care if they're real. My ministry changed. My wife changed. She's praying in tongues, and I'm like, that's weird. She's in there closing her. Blah, 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 blah. Ooh, that's weird. I started praying in tongues, and I'm like, that's weird to me. That sounds stupid. Don't now, I mean years later. I pray in tongues more than I pray any. I don't do it in church because Paul said it'd be better for me not to do it where you can understand what I'm saying. You know, but he prays in tongues more than all of you. There's power in that because it is a line straight to God, praying the perfect will of God out of your spirit. You can even ask God, God, interpret it. I believe he'll interpret things to you at times. May not do it every time. But if you ain't filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to ask God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They ain't none of that died out. Don't listen to that stupid stuff. The Baptist Association right now has took the first vote that women cannot pastor. They cannot preach. They cannot do none of that. They voted it the first time and it's fixing to become one of their bylaws. A woman cannot minister in the church. She's got to be quiet. On national TV, ministers, I'm talking about websites and are against these ministers that minister the gospel because they're prospering. I told Travis the other day, I said, listen to me. I said, don't listen to that against Kenneth Copeland and against Jensen Franklin and against all of them. They're claiming that they're living lavish lifestyles off of us. I'm givers to those ministries. They're claiming to live out in lavish lifestyles off of God's poor people. That's it. But God, He increased you so you can give to them so that they're preaching that gospel. We don't believe them liars. But God, I'm bold to tell them, y'all a bunch of liars. Don't talk about them. You're going to be in trouble with God. Don't touch God's anointed. Even if they make mistakes, you forgive them. Billy Graham's the only one that I can really, out of not all of the ministers, but Billy Graham's one that when Jimmy Swaggart fell. Now, a lot of the ones I'm talking about, these real ministries, they didn't attack that and they didn't jump on the bandwagon like a lot of them did. You know, but he defended him. He defended him. You know why? Because he knew that he's not a flawless man himself. He knew that he needed God's mercy, that he needed God's grace, and we're supposed to lift up the brethren that fall. Ye who are spiritual, restore. He didn't say jump on there in the media land and go ahead and help kill them. He said restore them. He said restore them. I'm going to tell you this story and I'm going to quit because it's getting late and we ain't got no service tonight. So we don't want to go too long, get our nap before service. My mama, I knew the scriptures, and faith begins where the will of God is known. So you need to know the will of God for other folk as well as your own self. You know, because if you know the will of God, you can pray the prayer of faith to stand and see things happen. Well, my mom fell into before she fell into a coma, I went over there, you know, because it didn't look good. She had an enlarged heart. She had sugar diabetes, congestive heart failure, pinched nerves, you know, wheelchair, headed toward bedridden and all of that. My mom, she was in her 80s. And doctors, you know, they put her on hospice. Of course, you know, hospice is the last stage before death. They don't tell you that, but that's what it is. You know, they're expecting you not to live very long when you get on hospice. And so they put her on hospice, you know. So I go in there one day and I pull me a chair up and I sit down with my mama. And I told her, I said, listen, I said, the Bible says if any two touching anything agree, I said, I believe in the power of agreement. Psalms 91:16, God said, long life will I satisfy you and give you my salvation, show you my salvation. I knew that. I knew the Apostle Paul in the Bible that he told him, he said, it's better that I go. He said, but it's more needful. He chose to stay, and God honored it. So I sat down and I told my mama, I said, Mom, I just need to know something. I said, because the doctors are saying this and some of the family's saying this and, you know, and I got to pick your coffin and all that stuff out. I'm over all of that. I said, I just need to know something. I said, are you ready to go home to see Jesus? I said, or do you want to stay? And I told her about the Apostle Paul. And I told her about Psalms 91:16. And I knew the will of God, long satisfied. 83 is not long if you look at the Bible and we're supposed to live 120. Heathen are promised 70. Lost without God, 70. And so I looked at her. She looked into the ceiling and she stared for just a few minutes. And then she looked at me and she said, I think I'm going to stay. I said, all right. I said, I'm in agreement with you right now. And I grabbed her hand and I prayed. I said, long satisfied life, will you give my mom and show her your salvation? I prayed the prayer of faith according to Psalms 91:16. And I had a nurse later on. My mom slipped into a coma. And I had a nurse tell me one time, she said, Mr. Weston, there just comes a time when you have to let them go. Well, I'd ask my pastor, when do I let them go? And he said, long as they're breathing, don't. That's good enough for me. Good enough answer for me. Long as your eyelids are moving, I ain't turning loose of you. And so anyways, they said, it comes a time when you have to let them go. Just let them go. And I looked at that nurse and I said, with all due respect, no disrespect to you, you go in there and you do your job and I'll do mine. Sometimes you've got to just confront that devil. Now, they're in their emotions and all of that. That's why you cannot walk the walk of faith by your five senses, your emotions. You got to get your emotions out. The Word of God helps you stand firm, and God's Spirit backing up the Word of God. And the Bible says the prayer of faith will save you, Mama. Well, she slipped into a coma, and my sister called me up, one back there. She's in service with us. And she said, Mom slipped into a coma, blah, blah, blah. And the doctors want you to get over here. And I said, well, I'm not coming. I went on a fast, Brad. I went on a fast. And I started fasting to see what God was saying. She slipped into a coma. She was in a coma 3 days, nothing to eat, nothing to drink, in a coma. And on the third day, the Lord spoke to him. He said, go pray for her. He said, I'm going to raise her up. He told me to tell you this story this morning. So I go over there. I got out. I just went on in the house, walked right in her bedroom, shut the door, went and got my lifeless mama by the toe. And I didn't look at her face and didn't think about nothing. And I said, I command the spirit of death to leave her right now in the name of Jesus. She will live and not die. I command this body to live. The prayer of faith. What God told me. See, God will tell you what to do in a situation. Go pray for her, he said. Now I got faith. Because I got the word. I got what he said. And I know she's coming out. I don't have to have no evidence. God's word is all the evidence you need to know that you have victory. You don't need anything else. You got to choose to believe the word. Period. And let that be first place and final authority over whatever it is. Well, I walked out of there and left, and my sister right there wouldn't even go in there because she didn't want to go in there and find her dead. So she wouldn't go in there. She waited till the doctors get there, you know. So that doctor come in there that next morning. He went in there. Nothing happened right then. And I knew, according to Mark 11, back before when Jesus cursed that fruit tree, something didn't happen right then. But 24 hours later, something happened. And then he began to teach us what to speak to them mountains, speak to them. He began to teach us to do that, didn't he? Yeah. We have to practice that. Because if you don't practice that, you won't do it. Right. You got to practice it. Well, Nita called me. She called me. Ah, she's all hysterical. Oh, Mama, she's awake this morning. Mama's awake this morning. Jesus, she said, Jesus is real. She was backslid. I think I'd led her to the Lord 8 times at that time, 13 times over the course of a few years, and then she finally got saved. True story. She said, Jesus is real. I said, I told you he's real. You know, see, God's showing his glory through all of it. And you know what? My heart was saying, oh, glory to God, he's real. He's real. I took no credit in here. No credit, thanking the Lord. Oh, I can raise the dead in your name, Lord. Amen. Glory to God, Lord. Nothing's impossible to us if we believe you, Lord. Amen. We endeavor to hear you. So in your circumstances of life, acknowledge him. Yeah. Bless God, and you better watch for deception. Take that word, get rooted and grounded. Be a student of the Word of God. I had to repent and had to start reading my chapter, Brad. The whole church out reading me in the chapters. That's terrible, ain't it? Terrible. I read it Monday. God, man, got to read this every day. Tuesday, how do they do this? A whole chapter. I need to be at work right now. You know, a whole chapter? Why can't they just pick out a few verses? That's terrible, ain't it, Brad? I finally doing it every morning. I'm like, in Jesus' name, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I use that instead of for money. I can do all things. I can read my chapter every day. My church can't outrun me, Lord. I can't let them outgrow me spiritually. Some of y'all fasting and y'all prospering more than me. And I'm like, hey, man, this is not good. Man, I got to beef it up on this prosperity stuff, praise God. So I want to encourage you. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And if you've missed the will of God and you know you're out of the will of God, today's a good day for you to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I didn't acknowledge you. I'm sorry I walked out of church and left you. I'm sorry, Father. I'm sorry that I got tired of prospering and tired of being ministered to and tired of getting faith and joy. I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, I'm tired. I got tired like the prodigal son of being blessed and left and found out, but God, how blessed I really was. I just repent. All you got to do is say, Lord, I repent. I change my mind. I'm sorry, Lord, and I'm gearing up. That's what repent means. It means to change your mind and go in a different direction. And even if you seem to think you can't go in that direction, that's what the Holy Spirit's for. That's what the angels of God are for. They come and they minister to you. So if that's you, let's just bow our heads. Father, we just praise you and thank you, Father, right now for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, I just thank you for everyone here on the sound of my voice. If you're in this house or you're watching by way of Facebook or over yonder in another country, don't really matter where you're at, and you're away from God, you've missed it, and Satan's told you there's no use. He's a liar. God's waiting right there, just like the prodigal son. He went back, and man, he just began to lavish him again. You just repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. If you're in this house and you don't know Jesus, I want to lead you to him. I want you to meet this man that I know that will give you eternal life. He will give you eternal things throughout your life and help you throughout life. And you say, that's me. I'm away from God. I'm not surrendered to him, or I'm backslid on the Lord. Pray for me when you pray. Slip your hand up and back down. Anybody in the house? And if you're out there over the airways, all you got to do, your heart is your altar. Just get down and ask the Lord to forgive you. Come into your heart, ask him to restore you again, and then get up and march for Jesus. Father, I just praise you and thank you for that today, Lord. Is anybody in the house this morning you need prayer before we dismiss? All right, let's stand to our feet. Let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.